Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
The following program was recorded May the 27th. Will the weather hold? If it does, will the markets fold? We'll find out today on our Commodity Week program. Oh, and one other note. December corn made a new life of contract high in the past week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
I am Todd Gleason. Welcome to Commodity Week. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Jerry Goodell of North America Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists in studio today include Matt Bennett of TGM out of Windsor, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, and Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities from Lafayette, Indiana. Here's the way the numbers settled up in the past week in Chicago. Remember, we give you the day and the night trade, the open outcry and the electronic, all combined into one for the weekly trade in July wheat. A high this week of $8.28¾, a low at $7.77½, and it settled at 13¼ cents higher Friday, $8.19¾, its last trade during the last week. July of next year at $9.34½ for the soft bread in Chicago from the CME Group finished 13¾ of a cent higher. July corn, a $7.75 high, a low at $7.26¾, with a settlement price at $7.58½, finished a penny lower. And December futures, a $6.84 settlement price ended 17½ higher. July soybeans, $13.98¼ on the high, the low at $13.65¾, a settlement price a half cent lower, $13.79¾. November beans, $13.68½, up 18. June live cattle settled at $104.10, down 87½. August feeders at $122.72½, or $302.5 lower. And the June lean hog settled $88. And 92½ for 100 pounds, down $3.05. This program is a production of willag.org. That's willag.org. Please do visit us online.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Our panelists in studio include Matt Bennett of TGM, Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Kurt, let's start with this question. On Monday of this past week, the United States Department of Agriculture, NAS, reported that Ohio farmers had planted just 11% of their corn crop. What will it show on Tuesday afternoon when that report is released?
Oh, they're going to come out 10%. They're going to realize they were 1% too generous when it's said and done. I don't think they've made a whole lot of progress from probably getting paid and say they're doing their job. They'll probably come out around 15-16%.
Sherman Newland?
I don't think they've made much progress at all. I mean, I'm sure they'll come out with some, probably in that 12-14% range, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like these guys. I think there's probably a pocket maybe here and there where someone could do a little work, but obviously they didn't get a lot done based upon the way the weather went this week. So unfortunately, they didn't make a whole lot of progress.
When you look at Ohio, Indiana, southern Illinois, parts of the Corn Belt to the northwest, and you see that they have not planted corn, Despite the fact that we're 80% planted as of last Monday, what does it mean to you as both a farmer, Matt, and somebody who's in an elevator?
Well, I think it's obvious that the acreage is going to be, you know, lower than what most people were hoping it would be whenever the March 31st came out. I really don't think that as a farmer I want to get overly aggressive just yet until we kind of see how this weather thing plays out. Looking at it from an elevator standpoint, we've been talking quite a bit. You know, obviously this weather thing is going to play in, I think, to a little bit of fear that, you know, there's going to be many areas where the harvest can be very late. And we've already talked about a tight carryout. So basis levels from an elevator standpoint are something we're going to keep a pretty close eye on.
Sherman Newland, you're a little bit further to the east. Are the basis levels jumping in your area?
No, not a lot in our area. They're running around 5 over for cash and about 30 under for fall, I'm sorry. There's not a lot of corn left out there, I don't think. And the guys that still have corn are holding on to it because we just can't get anything really planted down there. I mean, some guys are, you know, maybe 3/4 done, but there's a lot of guys that haven't put the first seed in the ground yet.
There will be two things at play, I suppose, in the eastern Corn Belt. One, will they actually have a corn crop to harvest this fall? But the other is, not only will they have a corn crop that may or may not be there, but by the time they get to August, they will be out of corn in that area as in most of the rest of the Corn Belt, right?
Well, it's going to be tight. You're going to may have to look at some alternatives. If you go back a month or two, old Paul Cooley said he'll be shipping corn up the river instead of down the river. So if it's a dire need, you know, this train movement and barge movement will come to a complete halt.
On Friday afternoon, we did hear about a train that was called back. We don't really have any identity on where that train came from or why it was called back, but there must have been a basis play at some point by the seller of that grain. Do you expect that that will happen more often than not in the future?
Well, I think we've seen it a little more this year than what you would see it in most years, and I think that that's definitely a sign of things to come. You know, depending on the processor, there's some awfully attractive basis levels, and so whenever you have a train sold, for instance, at a certain level, and you can take a 10-cent hit on it but maybe make 20 cents better on basis going to a different processor, it's going to happen. So I expect that that's just a trend that's going to keep developing.
What do you suppose, and we'll go across the board, that given today, if weather cleared up and producers could begin to plant across the Corn Belt, we might end up with planted acreage for corn when we get to June 30.
I think if everything went, you know, super from here on out, it would be a stretch to get to 90 still, a big stretch.
Yeah, if we don't get any rain and guys can run till probably the middle of June, probably, you know, in the 89.5 to 90.5 range is where I'd come in at.
Well, true fundamentals, these guys are probably right on, but past history tells us they don't lower the planted acres, they'll lower harvested acres as we move down the road. So I think the bull's going to be disappointed on coming in and slashing planted acres. I think that's a long, drawn-out process. I think it's in the harvested acres and lower yields as we move down the road.
That was actually my next question, and we'll go the other way around. How much, and you don't have to give a total production for the year unless you've got one, but how many bushels do you think were off of trend line at this point?
Well, that's a tough one. I mean, we're just getting going here. You know, if this weather materializes like it did in 83, we just turn hot. I mean, we've got quite a bit of yield at risk here. Right now, we're probably got to stick with this 158, 157 bushel yield, but I foresee that coming down, and I think, you know, the acreage is going to come down too.
I think that's, you know, still a lot to be on. To be seen with the weather, so it is going to be tough to get the record type yield. You're probably going to be in the upper 150s the way things are looking, but you know, if it turns off hot and dry, and you know, way this soil can get packed down from the rain, it could be a lot less than that.
I think there's been a lot of challenges again this spring in certain areas. I'm not saying everywhere in the Midwest, but you know, whenever you have 3 and 4 inch rain events come through, it definitely creates some stand issues and then some nitrogen leaching issues and issues that we've all become all too familiar with in the last 3 years. So Right now, I'm with Kurt. You know, I wouldn't be going too far above that 157, 158 range at this point. And in fact, you know, like Kurt said, if things get if we go from one extreme to another, Katie bar the door on what this yield's going to go down to.
So coming up in the next several days, we will reach a juncture at which producers can make a decision, if they'd like, as long as they have crop insurance, about taking the prevent plant provisions. We had some discussions earlier in the week with Gary Schnitke about those numbers. And for producers with an APH, say, of 150 to 160 bushels to the acre for corn, Gary, who's a farm management specialist at the University of Illinois, says they may very well be, actually by the numbers, are better off to take the prevent plant than to put corn in the ground. On Friday afternoon, I asked a question of our analyst at the time, unsure really as to whether the number of corn acres represented by crop insurance were the number of corn acres that producers expected to plant, or whether by the crop insurance rules that might have been all acres that were available, sort of corn and beans. We asked for some clarification. I didn't get it during the show completely, but here's the way that number rolls out. According to one of our analysts, the number of corn acres that would be available for prevent plant by producer would be the highest number of corn acres they planted in any of the last 4 years. So that takes care of one question. The second question then is this, and it can't come into play until we get to either May 31 in some of the lower parts of the growing areas, or June 5th in most of the growing areas. Will producers take prevent plant and not put any corn in the ground?
So much is going to be dependent upon the situation that they're facing as far as the ground. You know, if the ground is in a situation that they think they can get it planted and they can go ahead and do that maybe in the next week after their prevent plant date, you know, if they have 120, 130 bushel corn at 650, they're probably going to do a little bit better than, you know, just taking prevent plant according to whatever their APH is. But also keep in mind, a lot of it depends on what decisions they've made to this point. If they don't have nitrogen on, if they haven't put a whole lot of money into the crop just yet, they may take prevent plant.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving targets. And to add to that, do they already make forward sales? Are they 100% sold down there at $4? So there's some moving targets here you got to figure in.
Has demand for corn begun to wane? And we'll ask the same question for soybeans.
Yes and no. You know, livestock producers have cut back and they're lean. They got their rations as lean as they can. We've seen some rationing there. But as far as like the ethanol side, they're still going. And the other moving one that we need to watch is the export side. And it's slowing down somewhat. Well, but what's to say China might not step up and be a huge buyer here in a month or two?
Yeah, I don't know if it's really slowed down a lot. I think it's slowed down some, but you know, the ethanol plants are still going to be grinding. The livestock guys are still going to need to be feeding their livestock. So, you know, and like Kurt said, I mean, China can come in and buy, and you know, they were buying some here the other day. So the demand is still there.
Let me turn it in a different way for your answer here. So demand is still there. Is demand as strong as it was? And even if it's not, is demand greater than the decreasing supply of corn that we think we're looking at?
Well, I think it's obvious that demand is still there to a point that people are panicking on basis levels for summer, especially late summer time frame. Relatively speaking, I think demand is actually held together quite good compared to what most people would have said. If you'd have told them 3 months ago, we'd be looking at 750 corn. So I think demand actually is held right in together.
Does it give you hope that corn can manage its way through this process in July, August, and through the time we get to September and October for a harvest?
I wish I had an idea what was going to happen this summer in the corn market. But I do think that what we've seen so far has been a resiliency that maybe we didn't expect to happen given the escalation in price. You know, we went ahead and kept the export market, stayed fairly firm, and then the ethanol numbers these last 2 weeks were kind of nice to see that we went ahead and we're grinding a little bit more than what we were the previous 4 to 5 weeks. So
one thing to keep in mind, too, we're seeing these end users come forward now and start to book that August time window. So the demand's not now. You just can't hang on your corn, wait for demand to show up in August, and then sell then.
So wait a second. Let me make sure I understand that. But are you saying if you've got old crop corn, you might be a willing seller?
It's yes.
At some point, yes. I mean, just you know, how much do you want?
Well, yeah. Pick a point.
do you want $8? Do you want $9? I mean, or do you settle for the $7.50? I mean, I think the guys that are still sitting with old crop corn are pretty happy they still have it, especially if they don't have too much in the ground like we do around home. So, at some point in time, you probably need to let it go. But where that's going to be, it's still a big unknown.
And I would certainly caution a guy that's going to keep a whole lot on hand to have some sort of a trailing stop in the market. That way, if the market does tank, they already have an agreement with their elevator to have some sort of stop put in place to protect them from a free fall.
This program comes to you from willag.org. That's willag.org. Our panelist in studio today, you just heard Matt Bennett of TGM out of Windsor, Illinois. Kirk Kimmel is here with Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, and Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. When we return, we'll talk with Jerry Goodell of North America Risk Management Incorporated. He's in Chicago, Illinois.
I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist, located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the New Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. This week started out warm and dry throughout much of Illinois, with highs in the low to mid-80s. By Wednesday, severe weather rolled across the state, bringing with it damaging winds, hail, tornadoes, and heavy rainfalls. Rainfall totals for the week range from 2 inches in far southern Illinois to 2 to 4 inches elsewhere in the state. A few sites saw even more of that, including Macomb with 5 inches and Wood Hall with 5.4 inches. The statewide average rainfall so far in May is 5 inches even. That's 0.7 inches above average. The statewide average temperature for May is 61 degrees, and that's 1.2 degrees below average. Things will really warm up over the Memorial Day weekend. Temperatures will be mild on Saturday with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. By Sunday, highs will be in the mid to upper 80s, and by Monday's highs could be near 90. After that, temperatures are expected to drop back into the lower 80s through Thursday. The 6 to 10 and 8 to 14 day forecast are calling for above average temperatures across the state, with near average rainfall in the northern two-thirds of Illinois and below average rainfall in the southern Illinois. For the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign, I'm Jim Angel.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This is the May 27th edition of Commodity Week. Our panelists in studio include Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and Matt Bennett of TGM, our guest on the phone line today. Jerry Goodell of North America Risk Management in Chicago, Illinois. Thanks so much for being with us, Jerry.
Thank you very much for having me.
So earlier in the program, Jerry, we asked the question that wanted to know if demand for corn by ratio was staying stronger than the supply or expected supply. The flip side of that question is for soybeans. What do you say?
Well, soybeans have been somewhat, I wouldn't call them lackluster by any means, but we have seen the crush statistics here slow down a little bit. We've had a good push early in the season. We're still ahead of the seasonal pace on it. Exports, I think there's been a little bit less. There's been a lot more, I would have to say, concerned about exports because of China and that and their economic policies they've been putting on, and the fact that they have been noted of selling some of their reserves out. I think the one that was announced again today was really part of what they had previously announced, so I don't think that's a huge difference of a policy than where they were before. But overall, 140, 160 million 165 million difference, that's still extremely tight. And the other big question becomes is that did we have an overestimate of the crop, which is still yet to be determined here at the end of the month, and the June 30th report when we get our next stocks report.
Jerry, a lot of farmers, you know, will listen to this program looking for maybe a little bit of direction on marketing their crop. And we're talking quite a bit here about acreage, and I think it's a general consensus that acreage is going to be a little bit disappointing compared to what everyone feels that we were going to plant and need. Well, you know, where do you feel that we're going to come in on acreage? And if you're a producer, what are you doing or what are you not doing as far as selling crop or putting strategies in place due to the fact that this acreage could be such a big deal this year?
Well, that does make it an extremely tough marketing decision scenario at this point. Basically, I'm in the 30% kind of pre-sold scenario. Started at the 580 and did some more at the 660 level, so 650, 660 level. So I was actually contemplating looking at maybe emotional reaction this week with all the rains we had in the Eastern Corn Belt to go ahead and move that up. But basically, because of the issues that we're facing there in Indiana and Ohio, and also the other part of the things that we got to consider is what's going to happen up in the Northern Plains, I'm in that million to a million five number. It's a real moving target as to where I think the final numbers are. And that is anticipating a very good turnaround here in the Eastern Corn Belt here. Because of the open weather forecast we have right now and total numbers of acres. But a million and a half acres, and maybe just a little bit worse on our typical 7 million decline or a little thereabouts for unharvested acres in that between silage and drowned outs and stuff like that. All of a sudden, you've got a number there that's approaching 13.3, 13.250, and that really puts things in a very interesting scenario for 2011-12.
Jared, it seems to me like we've got a corn belt again that's divided. You got a northwestern and central part that's got a good crop, and an eastern part that's not getting anything planted. How for the guys that are not getting anything planted? I mean, how do you suggest about trying to sell their crop? Go with put options, and if so, which ones?
I think most people have got some kind of coverage out there because of the very attractive prices we have that's out there. Staying in that 20 and 30% zone, I think, is the best approach right now, because I think we do have some upside potential here, and it might be actually helped by the wheat of all things. Minneapolis wheat broke out to the new highs of the move this week, and that, from the standpoint of getting out there and that really kind of gives me a situation here we could easily push up towards the $7 mark, or maybe as high as $7.50, depending on how if wheat gets into it. And wheat sits planting number next Tuesday will be just about as important as where the corn number is at, spring wheat wise, because Europeans are quite emotional about what's going on with their crop over there and their winter wheat. And if they get wrapped up into things, that really kind of points right towards that Minneapolis one. And it went out to a new high this week. And if that goes up a buck to a buck and a half, that sure doesn't hurt the corn. I guess right now, somebody talked about having a stop approach and things of that nature. Definitely something to consider from there, and definitely using conservative estimates and stuff like that on where you're at on hedging. From the standpoint of getting some kind of fence going or doing things like that in the new crop options, I tend not to stay away from that kind of stuff, because you spend a lot of money on time and you don't always get exactly what you're at. But I'd have to also sense that if we did start to get back into somewhat of a normal weather pattern middle latter part of June into July there, once we get that acreage report behind us, we could definitely have some back off in price. I don't see, though, that we're in a situation to be down in the low $6 mark anytime soon here, unless we can somehow or other jack it completely out of sight and go to $8 or $9 or something like that on new crop corn.
So how bullish you think we are? I know you said maybe $7.50 East corn, maybe $1, $1.50 in the wheat. What about beans then?
Beans are they're going to be the trailer in this thing, because everybody will assume that we're going to end up getting some more acreages being switched over there. New crop beans are, for practical purposes, in the 1375 zone. I would expect something probably in that 14 and a quarter, 1450 zone, which is 75 cents. you know, something like that. Because one thing we are going to be battling is South America, and also this kind of mindset that we're going to muddle through on old crop supplies in here, so there's not going to be the tightness that we all seem to expect in the corn. We're going to kind of be able to get through here, because basically there's a safety valve of buying out South America.
Do you see in the August time frame, when most of the end users are now trying to book for, that will shut down, I don't know, ethanol plants, processors of some sort, and what impact does that have?
Well, psychologically there's going to be some impact, for, of course, on the demand side, but the biggest thing is that we're going to have tremendous basis levels at that point from there. And the biggest question becomes is where is this June 30th stock is going to give us one more reading on that thing. We've had two very positive stock levels in here. Last year we had the amazing turnaround stock level that kind of got slapped in the face by the September one when we got later in the season. But I think the stocks level this time around is going to give us a little better truer feeling as to where we're at on the thing, and that's going to give us a better understanding of as to where we're ultimately going to be. The livestock side of things, unfortunately, you really can't shut down livestock. You know, once they're there, and we've got animals in the, as we all know, in the feed yards with this recent 10% increase in placements and up there 6-7% in stocks. We got hogs that seem to be slaughtering out 1.5-2% more than a year ago, and the same thing on some broilers. So that's the interesting twist on it. You're probably right. There's going to be some processors that's going to decide it's not worth it. It probably will have some shaving potential, I suppose, out of exports. But in general, what are going to be our official tight pipeline supplies? Back in 96, we're all comparing them to is 500 million. We seem to think that 700 million is in the same spot because we got this huge amount more demand going. You know, overall, we're talking about, you know, what, 50 or 70% more in total number of bushels moving through the system. So you'd think that would be around the 700 mark, but it's going to be wild because, unfortunately, in the last month, we went from a 2 or 3 week difference to maybe a 5 or 6 weeks difference between when the crop might run out in the middle of August to the middle, latter part of September when the next crop is going to be available.
Jerry, thank you so much for being with us today.
Take care.
Jerry Goodell is with North America Risk Management Incorporated out of Chicago, Illinois. Now a final word from our panelists in studio. We'll start with you, Matt Bennett.
Yeah, I just think this is a good time for guys to put some strategies in place and enjoy these good prices and take advantage of some of it as we go.
Sherman Nolan?
I think the weather report coming in next week is going to be critical. I mean, if it looks like we have a planting window to get some done, but if it would happen to change and turn off wet again, then the prices can probably take off.
And Kurt Kimmel?
It's a dynamic market, and we look for this market to stay dynamic clear into next winter. Above all, keep your trading and marketing program flexible.
Our thanks to our panelists in studio, including Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities from Lafayette, Indiana. And Matt Bennett of TGM in Windsor, Illinois. This edition of Commodity Week was recorded on the 27th day of May. If you'd like to hear it again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org, willag.org. There you'll not only find Commodity Week, but all of our daily programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report, everything in between, post within 15 minutes to 30 minutes of the time that it airs on our radio stations. It's all at willag.org. And while you're there, don't forget to sign up for our free weekend newsletter. Just hit subscribe on the right-hand side of the page. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.